Now, on this second day of the Republican National Convention in St. Paul, we do continue our series of conversations about this American moment. Starting last week, we've taken a step back to put this election and this campaign season in context. Every day, we're asking different guests to tell us what they think is at stake, what this election means to them. In just a minute, two young conservatives will join us, and we want to know what this American moment means to the young people in our audience. What's at stake for you? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Raihan Salam and Ross Douthat join us now from NPR's headquarters at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul. They're editors at The Atlantic, co-authors of Grand New Party, How Republicans Can Win the Working Class and Save the American Dream. And thank you both very much for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having us, Neil.
Thanks, Neil.
And I guess the good news is that unprecedented numbers of young people are participating in politics this year, though I suppose from your point of view, the bad news may be that so far, at least, they're overwhelmingly supporting Barack Obama.
Yeah, this is a tough moment for Republicans with young voters. I think that the Republican Party is in danger of having a moment with young voters like the Democratic Party did in the 1980s. If you look back to the Reagan era and to the generation that came of age in that period, Generation X, they ended up being the most Republican cohort in modern American political history, partially just because your political tendencies tend to be formed during your first few elections as a voting American, and they were voting during elections when the GOP was riding high and when there was a perception that Republicans were the party of an expansive future of mourning in America. And today's young people in our generation, have been formed politically by 8 years of George W. Bush, and it's been, to put it mildly, a tough 8 years for the Republican Party, and I think that's showing up in the enthusiasm gap, between young people's enthusiasm for Barack Obama and their lack of enthusiasm for the GOP.
Ross Douthat, is this one of those things where people set their brand preferences? We're told advertisers worry that they're going to choose a right guard or a crest by the time they're 21, and after that, it's very hard to dissuade people from their brand choices. Is the Republican brand in trouble with young people?
Absolutely. I think you can overstate that a little bit. I think if you look, for instance, at before the Reagan era, in the late 60s and early 70s, when a lot of lifelong Democrats turned to the Republican Party for the first time, those definitely weren't young voters. The famous Nixon silent majority in 68 and 72 was composed of middle-income, middle-aged Americans who had voted Democratic their whole life and were casting their first votes for Republicans. Definitely. Political preferences can change later in life in middle age, and Democrats for years have often counted on a huge youth turnout that hasn't emerged. But that being said, this may not be quite as bad a situation for the GOP as it looks, but there's no way to say it's a good situation.
Mm-hmm. And Raihan Salam, how would you estimate what would you estimate is at stake in this election for you?
That's a very tough question to answer. There are so many moving parts right now in the American political scene. I think that both of our political parties, major political parties, have been really calcified. You've seen a lot of the same issues at play for a long time, and I think that's about to change. When you're looking at young voters, Ross and myself, we're in a generation that's much different in its demographic composition and also in its social views from those that came before us. So if you look at someone like Sarah Palin, for example, she's pro-life on abortion, but she's also pro-gay rights. That's an interesting mix, but it's actually a pretty common mix among people our age. So I think that's what I'm hoping to see. I'm hoping to see this younger generation, this America that frankly is a lot browner, that's a lot more Asian and Latino and black than the generations that come before it, really have a place at the table. So that's something I'm definitely excited about, and I think that the Republican Party needs to pay attention to that.
There seemed to be a point, and Republicans made a lot of people sit up and listen when they said, look, the Democratic Party seems to be out of ideas. And that was several years ago. And conservative ideas back to Ronald Reagan's time seemed to dominate the American political discourse. Now a lot of people saying, well, the Republican Party seems to be out of ideas, too.
Well, I mean, I think the thing about the ideas that the Democratic Party has is that they are fairly old ideas, but they're still very potent ideas. And the core idea is an idea about economic security. And I think that what Republicans need to do is offer a parallel idea that really might resonate with younger voters about economic resilience. What are the tools that we can give you to bounce back, to change with the changing shape of the economy? And I think that Republicans haven't been focused on that because they keep trying to change the subject from healthcare, education, jobs, and the changing nature of the economy to areas where they feel comfortable, like national security, toughness, and a lot of the traditional social issues.
Well, Ross Douthat, it also seems to be a question of the role of government. Traditionally, conservatives say less government, lower taxes, strong defense. I mean, that's been sort of the mantra. Certainly, less government did not happen under the George W. Bush administration, and the difference in the two parties seems to have blurred there, and also this idea that Democrats have that the government, you need it sometimes. It should be your friend.
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, one thing that Republicans have gotten into trouble with is that there's an expectation among Americans, and especially among young Americans, that institutions are going to work. You know, you grow up now in an environment where you can, you know, send a package around the world in the blink of an eye. You know, you can order anything you want from Europe on Amazon.com and so on and so forth. And our governmental institutions really haven't kept up. And in the Bush years especially, there's been a perception that, you know, yes, Americans are a people who want limited government. You know, they want a low tax burden and so on. But they want the government that we have to be run well. And that's a place where Republicans have really fallen down on the job, I think.
We're talking with two young conservatives, Raihan Salam and Ross Douthat. They are editors at The Atlantic and co-authors of Grand New Party, How Republicans Can Win the Working Class and Save the American Dream. And we're asking young people to join us today on the air. Give us a call. What does this American moment mean to you? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And let's get Rachel on the line. Rachel with us from Philadelphia.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm just wanted to say that either way, whoever, whatever party goes nominated, there's going to be a great change for the United States. Basically, either we're going to have a female vice president for the first time or a black president for the first time. And it seems as both parties are striving for great change. And I am a supporter for Barack Obama. I'm young. I'm 21 years old. But I absolutely believe that it's going to be a good thing either way, and I know that's kind of crazy to say, but either way, it's going to be a good thing.
Rachel,
a lot of change.
Going to be a lot of change. It's something you're going to be able to tell your children and grandchildren about.
Yes, it's a historical time, no matter what, no matter who's elected, and I am a Democrat, but I do believe that there's going to be some good coming out of whoever gets elected.
Rachel, thanks very much. And
thank you.
That speaks Raihan Salam to Rachel seems to embody a feeling among many young people who are less partisan than their elders.
Yeah, I found that really refreshing. But the one thing that does make me sad about this race is the way that both candidates really are different. Both tickets really are different and refreshing, yet they're forced to fit into the same old mold. For example, Sarah Palin, sure, she's an evangelical. She's a conservative. But she also was a really non-traditional figure. In Alaska, she wasn't thought of as, you know, a hardcore conservative. She was thought of as someone who took on her own party and was a reformer and had this very different identity. She even praised Barack Obama from time to time. But then in the glare of national politics, she's seen as this backwoods caricature. Obama, similarly, you know, is I think that he is trying to be more meditative. He really wants to recognize the strength of some ideas on the other side. But then being the candidate of his party, he's forced into a bit of a box. So I think that these guys, you know, do have different perspectives. But I think the campaign forces them to be very traditional, very familiar, and frankly, very boring some of the time.
Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Brian. Brian with us from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Hi there.
Hi.
As far as the American moment, it's definitely a turning point in our history, and I just like to preface the conversation with the fact that my parents are both Canadian and didn't have voting rights up until probably about 12 years ago. And in my home, I was never brought up Republican or Democrat. As a matter of fact, I would have to admit that I was probably part of the normal or major herd, if you will, just like any other sheep, didn't know what it meant to vote one ticket or the other. I was one of those people that stood around the water cooler or the coffee machine and just kind of picked up tidbits from colleagues and, you know, just said, well, that sounds good. I think I'll go that route. But I think what the American people really need to do, and I think the young people are doing this, is really get themselves educated, get online and research. Don't take the things that Fox News tells you or CNN tells you. Really dive in and get the information yourself. For myself, I don't claim any party. I think that it's a little bit too dangerous to do that, and because you'll find yourself digging your heels in disagreement with friends, colleagues, family, just for the sake of standing up for your team. The other team could very well have produced an outstanding candidate, and at this point in time, I'm definitely going with Obama. He exemplifies class and integrity. And as far as the Sarah Palin thing, also for myself as an atheist, I am a degreed engineer and work for a Fortune 50 company here in Michigan. And so I'm a numbers guy. I have the view that if you're going to preach, for example, abstinence, you should be trying to practice what you preach. And at this point, I think this is probably a fair target in the view of many that,
So you buy the hypocrisy argument. Yeah.
Now, kind of the poster child of how abstinence doesn't work. Luckily, they're a family that have the means to take care of this child, but so many families that are the face of America don't have those means.
Brian, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're talking about This American Moment. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Brian mentioned that his parents are from Canada. Probably worth mentioning that Canada is going to call an election probably later this week. And, well, it's going to be starting and over before our election is. So that's something that we're thinking
very
about.
Very efficient, those Canadians.
Yes, indeed. And Ryan Salam, the other part of this is that this is an extraordinary moment because it is open on both sides for the first time in many, many years. Nobody is running as an incumbent or as a vice president attempting to follow up on the previous president's term.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of only, you know, kind of so many things that are so unusual about this race. You know, can you imagine if Dick Cheney were running in a Republican primary this time around? Holy moly, that would have really got them out in droves.
I think he would have carried Wyoming.
Good point. Maybe Utah?
not with Mitt Romney in the race.
Let's get James on the line. James with us from Baltimore in Maryland.
Hello, gentlemen. And love the discussion, first off, and a couple things I want to bring up. I'm 25 years old from Baltimore, Maryland. I'm a Democrat. I call myself a Democratic independent in the sense that I'm a registered Democrat because being in Baltimore, being a registered Democrat allows me to vote more often and have it matter than being a registered Republican, being in the city and all. Demographics will tell you that. But I have voted for Republicans in the time. I look at policy. I'm leaning towards Obama in this case. But one thing I want to talk about, what this means to me, is I think we're starting to see a lot of shifts. And you hit on it a couple calls ago about how the lines are starting to blur. And coming out of college just relatively recently, I think we're starting to see some of that, what you know you would call college socialism, replaced with basically what is college libertarianism. I wasn't one of the Ron Paul cult, as I like to call it, the cult of Ron Paul, but he was a guy who motivated a gigantic youth movement on college campuses and got a lot of discussion with ultra fiscal conservative things. And when you look at libertarian ticket of, you know, fiscal conservancy with social liberalism, you start seeing the lines blurring. Now, I'm not saying Bob Barr has a chance, you know, he's got about a Republican's chance in Baltimore. But
you may be being generous.
Yeah, I'm being generous. Yeah, he has no chance whatsoever. But I think, and as much as the cult of Ron Paul got under my skin so much, because I'm also a history teacher and an economics teacher, that's what I do now, it's an interesting discussion to see that change among the youth. Adopting more fiscally conservative viewpoints while keeping the social liberalism.
And Ross Douthat, he's certainly right that the young people in the Republican Party did gravitate to Ron Paul.
A lot of them did, although, I mean, it's interesting, in the Republican primary, there were sort of two insurgent campaigns. There was Mike Huckabee and Ron Paul, and in a certain way, they were mirror images of each other. Ron Paul was running, as the caller just said, as sort of, you know, as a libertarian, and attracted a lot of support, even though he himself is anti-abortion, from fiscally conservative, socially liberal conservatives. Then you had Mike Huckabee, who was sort of doing the reverse. He was, you know, running as more of an economic populist, but also as a rock-ribbed social conservative. And he also sort of came out of nowhere and attracted a lot of youth support, actually, in places like Iowa and the South. And what's also interesting, though, is that both Paul and Huckabee, even though they didn't perfectly overlap ideologically, they had a similar populist style. And I think that's something you're going to see a lot more of. And I think the internet, especially, as one of the callers was talking about a couple calls ago, is going to change American politics in ways that, you know, that do empower not only individuals, but also sort of outsider candidates, and, you know, it sort of shakes up power, you know, existing establishments within the two parties. I think the big question with the internet is, you know, it can be a tool for shaking up the system. It can be a tool, as somebody just said, for educating voters better than they've ever been educated before. But it can also be a tool for incredibly hard-edged partisanship. And you only have to go read what people on left-wing blogs are saying about Sarah Palin, you know, in the last 2 days to be reminded that the internet, you know, giveth in terms of bipartisanship and good ideas, but it also taketh away in terms of, you know, frankly, vicious rhetoric.
James, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you very much.
So long. And we'd like to thank both of our guests for a good conversation. Ryan Salam, an associate editor at The Atlantic, and Ross Douthat, who's a senior editor at The Atlantic. Together, they are the co-authors of Grand New Party, How Republicans Can Win the Working Class and Save the American Dream. They joined us from NPR's headquarters at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul, Minnesota. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks, Neil.
And, of course, you can listen to coverage of the Republican National Convention later today on many of these NPR stations, or you can go online and listen at npr.org. Tomorrow, we continue our series on This American Moment with former Ambassador John Bolton. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.